It's On Second Thought. I'm Adam Ragusea. A new study from Johns Hopkins University says that 1 in 8 organ transplants in the U.S. now comes from a person who died of a drug overdose. In 2000, that was just 1 in 100. This shift comes as the opioid crisis continues to ravage Georgia and indeed the rest of the nation. As we continue to address this public health crisis, are there consequences for organ donation that people should be concerned about? Dr. Christine Durand joins us. She is assistant professor of medicine and oncology at Johns Hopkins University. She's one of the co-authors of this study. Good morning.
Good morning.
Also with us is Dr. Don Pearson. He's executive director of the Emory Transplant Center, where he's seen a lot of this up front, close and personal, no doubt. We'll talk to him about that. Good morning, Dr. Pearson.
Good morning.
Dr. Durand, what got you interested in studying this?
Well, most Americans know that we're facing an epidemic of deaths due to drug overdose. And I think many are also aware that there's a critical organ shortage in this country. More than 115,000 Americans are on a wait list for a life-saving organ transplant. And as you mentioned, we've seen a dramatic rise in the number of donors who die from an overdose. So the objective of our study was to see how patients who received transplants from overdose death donors did in the long run.
So this is a tough thing to talk about. I think a lot of the ways that we could talk about this might sound a little bit ghoulish, but we got to talk about them because it's just the facts of the situation. And I suppose, Dr. Durand, the first question that I have for you is, putting aside the unspeakable tragedy of the deaths of people who are ODing on opioids, are they not sort of the ideal organ donors because they're not dying of trauma? They're often dying young, and they're dying in a physically, a chemically relatively gentle way that would leave the organs pretty well intact. Am I guessing that right?
Yeah, you're exactly right. I mean, we are talking about the loss of one life leading to another life, saving another life. And that's a fact of organ donation. All of us will die someday. I hope that many of us will die in a way where we can give a gift of life to another person. We were interested in the outcomes of these transplants, and we hypothesized that many of these transplants would have excellent outcomes since the overdose death donors are typically younger donors who don't have chronic medical issues like high blood pressure or diabetes, which might affect their organs. And we did, in fact, find that patients who received transplants from donors who died from an overdose had excellent outcomes. They were the same or, in many cases, even better than organ transplants from donors who died from trauma or donors who died from medical causes.
Were there any surprises in your research?
One thing that did surprise us was that despite these excellent outcomes, we found that many of the organs donated were actually discarded. That is, they were surgically recovered, but then never used for transplant in any individuals in need.
Why would that happen?
We believe the most likely factors are two. One is that there is a growing prevalence of hepatitis C infection among those who die from an overdose. This is a risk to participants, but we now have curative therapy for hepatitis C. So this may be a risk that one who needs a transplant to save their lives could face. And the other issue that is likely leading to discard is that overdose death donors are labeled increased infectious risk, and that's because they have behaviors such as injecting drugs, which might put them at higher risk for infections like hepatitis or HIV. However, in today's organ donation world, we have excellent tests that can detect these infections at very early stages. So the true risk of getting an infection from a so-called increased infectious risk donor is actually quite low. And the biggest risk for someone on the wait list is dying because they need a transplant.
Yeah. We're talking about new research indicating that 1 in 8 organ transplants in the U.S. is now coming from a person who died of a drug overdose. That is a huge increase from just a couple of decades ago. Dr. Tom Pearson with the Emory Transplant Center, is this a study that you picked up and you read and you're like, yep, that confirms what I'm seeing day in, day out?
I think that's very much the case. I think we in Georgia, unfortunately, are not different than the rest of the country.
And everything that that we're hearing about from Dr. Durand about the particular dynamics of, oh God, I hate to use the term, but I suppose it's the term you use, harvesting organs from from patients who've died of drug overdoses. This is something you see in your own work?
That's true. I think Dr. Duran really identified the issues very well. I think all of us in transplantation would obviously wish the opioid epidemic and problem would go away. But it's here, and at least with the opportunity to save a life through organ donation and perhaps provide some sense of meaning to the donor family, there is some good that can come out of a terrible situation.
Sure. How do you have that conversation with a family? I mean, you know, you're talking about a donor class that, as Dr. Duran said, is generally young, and these are people who might not have thought about their mortality yet, might not have expressed a desire to be an organ donor. So I imagine that there have to be a lot of conversations with next of kin around these things. How do you do that?
Right. So that conversation is carried out by professionals in the organ procurement organization, which in our case in Georgia is LifeLink at Georgia. Huh. These are people that are very skilled and very trained in those conversations. And again, I think it's the good of it is the opportunity to provide some good or some feeling that to this family that's had this tragedy, that some positive has come out of it.
Okay. Dr. Durand, how did doctors in situations like this determine that organs are safe to be used for transplant?
So with any organ donor evaluation, there's an extensive set of evaluations, both to look at organ function and to look at any infectious risks. So we have decades of experience of this and really have very good parameters to assess the organ function. What we saw in our study, again, was that the five-year survival rates and the five-year organ function from for transplant recipients who had accepted an organ donated after an overdose were excellent. Again, the same, if not better, than organs from other types of donors. So we hope that the results of our study help providers, help patients who are trying to make a decision about whether or not to accept an organ donated after overdose. Mm-hmm. And just to follow up on what you were saying before, when I think about these donors and their families, they're really making a generous and compassionate decision in the midst of unspeakable tragedy. And these are people I admire. These are people whose decisions we want to honor. And it's really a selfless and compassionate thing that they're doing.
So even though there is this aspect of the opioid crisis, it nonetheless is, you know, I'm sure every medical professional would say the better thing to do is to get people to stop dying of opioids. Assuming that can be achieved through public health measures of various kinds, then we know that there will be a corresponding shortage of organs available for transplants. So what can people be doing in advance of that problem? I understand at Emory, Dr. Pearson, one of your specialties is working with live donors, people who are still alive and donating one of their kidneys, for example.
Right. So that is an option, probably most commonly available to people in need of a kidney transplant. By far and away, the most common live donor transplant is in the realm of kidney transplantation. There are innovative programs ongoing across the country to try and increase the opportunity for living kidney donation. One of those programs are paired donor exchange programs where one's emotionally or genetically related potential donor that doesn't match that actual recipient would donate to somebody else, and that person's donor would donate back to the original recipient. These type programs increase the opportunity for live donor kidney transplantation.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Duran at Johns Hopkins, what's the number one thing people can do to be making sure that there is a sufficient supply of organs available for transplant?
Well, I think for listeners today who are thinking, you know, I'm not young, I'm not healthy enough to be an organ donor. I think we're doing everything we can in the donation community to see every gift of life honored. So I would say anyone can be an organ donor. Talk to your family, talk to your loved ones about that decision, register to be an organ donor. We don't believe that the opioid overdose epidemic is a solution to the organ shortage, but we don't want to add tragedy on top of tragedy. So for those who die of an overdose and make the decision to save a life, we want to honor that.
That is Dr. Christine Durand. She's assistant professor of medicine and oncology at Johns Hopkins University, one of the co-authors of a study that finds that now 1 in 8 organ transplants in the U.S. is coming from a patient who died of a drug overdose. That is up from 1 in 100 a couple of decades ago. Really, really striking finding. Thank you, Dr. Durand. And also with us there was Dr. Tom Pearson, executive director of the Emory Transplant Center. Thanks to you both.
Thank you.
And listeners, we want to hear from you on this one. Is organ donation something that you have thought about? Is it something that you've talked about with your family? If so, how did you broach that topic? I think other people could learn from your example. If you've not been able to have that conversation, then tell us why not. If you've benefited from organ donation, we would love to hear about your experience as well. Give us a call at 404-500-9457. We're on Twitter at OST Talk. You can also post to our Facebook page. Just go to Facebook and search for On Second Thought or On Second Thought Radio. That's where we are on Facebook. Get in touch with us, and we might feature your comments on the show.